This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. It's the first Friday of the month, the day we set aside to talk about dogs here on the Afternoon Magazine. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month to talk about dog care, behavior, and training. Jim and his wife, Robin, raise Malamutes out at Poker Flats, which is today without power.
And I got mine back.
Carol was in the dark for a while, but the lights are on. And Carol has a beautiful golden and a doodle.
A dude.
Named Andy. A girl dude.
She's hilarious.
So how long were you without power?
It went out at 5 to 7 this morning. I was just bringing the dogs in. I was going to go get ready for work. And that snow just started out of nowhere. And there was this, and I live in the city. I'm not out in the open like Jim is. There was this huge gust of wind. And with that, the bad words came because I knew what had happened. It was dark and cold that fast.
Wow.
So.
Our power went out at about 9 o'clock last night. But I forgot how long ago, on Valentine's Day, I think it was, a dozen years ago or so.
1990.
More than a dozen years ago.
Yeah.
We lost power for days. It was like 4 days.
I was out for a whole week that time.
We were out for a week. Mm-hmm. That was miserable.
And as soon as that power came on, I loaded the dogs in the car and went to my mom and dad's up in Chicago. I was out of here. I called my girlfriend. She had kids. I said, you bring your kids and husband over here. I am leaving.
When the power came back on?
Yes. I couldn't get out of here fast enough. I wanted to go. I felt like it was so uncivilized. I was in that house for a week by myself with the two dogs. And all I had was a fireplace for heat.
Why didn't you leave before the power?
Yeah.
while the power was out?
That seems logical.
Because I don't know why I didn't. I just didn't. I waited till the power came on. You know, I've been conserving my little batteries on my radio. I would listen for an hour in the morning and an hour at night.
Yeah, it's not like you're in the boondocks. You're right in the center of town.
I was like, okay, I'm gone. Bye.
You can go to
We were out without
Well,
for
I
a
had
week,
lived here and long enough, and I didn't know a lot of people. But remember Kathy Doty?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It was my friend Kathy Thurman at the time. And she and the boys and her husband came over, and when I came back home, they had picked up every stick and twig and branch and limb from the yard and piled it on the curb.
How nice.
Yeah, it was a nice bonus.
We lost a plum tree to the ice storm last night.
Oh.
And several big branches. So I'm going to be doing a lot of sawing.
Yeah. Well.
And we lost our power at my house last Thursday. This is a dog-related story.
Thanksgiving.
Get my neighbors thought this was very enjoyable. Wednesday night, I'm walking the dogs. And I was just across the street from the house, and there's a sidewalk, and I've walked these sidewalks 30,000 times, the sidewalk and the ground. There's a little bit of a drop, but I rolled my ankle and sprained it pretty badly. So when I got up Thursday morning, I thought, I might as well go and have it looked at. I went to Carl Convenient, and they thought it was broken. They had to call an x-ray technician in, so I went back home and then went back and got an x-ray and got an air cast. It wasn't broken, but it was badly sprained, so I came back home, and now it's, I think, an 11:30 range, and I was set back in my Thanksgiving preparations, even though I wasn't having company, and there was no power. I'm like, great. Nobody had power on the whole block. So I'm waiting, and I called it in, and they said several people had called, and since I was crabby because my leg hurt and I had a bad cold anyway, I put the dogs out, and I was going to run and find the Ameren truck.
That would have helped a lot.
Well, I just felt I had to do something.
Those guys will work faster if you yell at them.
So I'm driving around. I came back home, and there they are right in front of my house. And he said, well, we're going to have to get into your backyard because there's a big transformer that between the yard behind me and my yard. And apparently that had blown because there was a big explosion. So I said, sure, just a moment. Let me get the dogs in. And with that, I opened the back door, and here is Andy with this creature in her mouth. I couldn't even tell what it was because it was like this great big dark thing hanging out of both sides of her mouth, and it was a squirrel. And then I'm thinking squirrel transformer. Mm-hmm. She's got the fried squirrel in her mouth. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately authoritatively told her to drop it. And she looked at me like, there is no way I've been chasing these things for months.
It's cooked.
And I am not dropping this. And, of course, I immediately get hysterical and grab dog cookies to entice her. And this prize was too good. The IP guy thought this was pretty hilarious, by the way. So finally I got her and I grabbed her by the jaws without touching this creature and opened her jaws and it dropped with a plop because he was freshly fried. And I got them in the house and that was the culprit, was the squirrel. And so he took it away with him. But for the rest of the three-day weekend, she would be in the backyard looking up at the sky for another squirrel to fall from heaven because to her, it just fell for her.
Well, I have an animal story to tell you.
Oh, good.
It was several weeks back, and it had been warm, and we were going to have a freeze, a hard freeze. And I had a couple of things out on the front porch. I thought, I'll bring them in, keep them for another little while. So I had a fern hanging on the front porch. So I stepped outside, and the temperature had dropped, and the wind is blowing. So I grabbed the fern, and I haul it into the house.
Do we want to hear this?
In the fern, there was a wren.
I love wrens.
The cat was so excited.
I'll bet.
And it was like, now what do we do?
Did the wren get out of the fern and fly?
Yes. Oh. So the wren is flitting between the living room and the kitchen and up on the curtain rod. So the cat's very excited. So the first thing is we've got to secure the cat. So we get the cat secured. And then it's like, now what? Okay, turn off all the lights. Turn the porch light on, open the door.
Good idea.
And the bird flew out.
I never would have thought of that.
The cat then came back from the basement and was looking for the bird.
And then you would look for the bird for a long time.
Yeah. It was like a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's
here
somewhere.
He was convinced the bird was still there. Yeah. I love wrens. I like to listen to them.
Yeah.
House wrens. So,
mm-hmm. Happy ending.
Yeah. My story had somewhat of a happy ending. I guess. I don't know.
You got rid of the squirrel.
Got power.
The power's back on.
Yeah. Everybody got to cook their Thanksgiving dinner.
Very good. Well, listeners, if you've got a question about dogs,
teach them drop it.
Behavior training, give us a call. Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to take your calls. The phone number's in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. We've got a call coming in, so why don't you put your headphones on, and as soon as Jason gets this individual lined up, we will talk with our listener in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm actually on my way to the pet store because I just found out my dog has fleas.
Oh.
And I was not so much concerned about caring for the dog, but what do I have to do to take care of my furniture and everything else in my house where these little critters might still be hanging out?
You've called two people who have diametrically opposed philosophies.
Well, this is good. Then I'll get to make my own decision. Yeah.
Well, I'm the thermonuclear guy. There are flea shampoos. You can wash the dog, and it will kill the fleas pretty effectively. But you got to hose them down, work that lather in, and you got to get their head and everything.
Right.
And then you have to dry them off pretty thoroughly and not just rub them with a towel, but if you can get a
hair dryer.
Is he having a problem with words today?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm all excited. But then there are other products. You do a thorough vacuuming of the house to get the eggs up, and then spray the inhibitors, or they don't kill the little flea eggs, but they prevent them from becoming adults, and spray it wherever the dog was. Fleas and flea eggs are everywhere. It's not unusual to have fleas with a dog, but once you get them, if you do those things, you can keep it a little bit under control. Now, see, I'm the chemical guy. Carol uses yoga and
No, I didn't treat for fleas at all this year because I didn't have any fleas, and I don't treat unless I do. But I would not go to the pet store. I'd call your vet and get a little tube of the Advantage and put it between the shoulder blades. It will kill the fleas on the dog.
I did that yesterday, so she's all set. But you know, I'm thinking about my just, bedspread and my couch and
What? You're going to be okay. Go buy a crummy little flea collar, throw it in your vacuum cleaner bag and vacuum everything, and then throw that away. Throw the bag away.
Oh.
But you'll be okay. You're not going to get fleas.
The problem with the Advantage and those kinds of things is they do kill the fleas that are on the dog that are adults.
Mm-hmm.
They do nothing to the flea eggs that are on the dog.
I wonder, how did you just figure out he had fleas?
Well, she was constantly scratching and biting with her front teeth all over her body, and I could see what I think they call flea dirt, little black speck where she had been laying for a long time.
Yeah.
How thick is her coat?
She's a black lab, so it's got a little bit of thickness to it,
It makes it harder to see the fleas.
She probably
too.
Didn't have a bad flea infestation. No. I mean, this is December 1st. You would have noticed it. I wouldn't be too worried about it. And they just itch a little bit. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice.
Okay, you're welcome. Next, we talk with a listener in Muhammad on line 2. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Mine is a behavioral dog problem, and I don't even know where to start. I adopted a dog from the Humane Society about 4 months ago, and this dog is scared of everything. And she just hides out in the bedroom all the time, and we've tried closing the bedroom door to try to do a little forced socialization, but she is just frightened of everything. And she's not warming up at all. I mean, a little bit, but if the trees are waving around in the breeze, she won't go outside, and she has to go outside, so I have to take her out. Do you have any ideas on what to do?
How old is she?
We estimate she's probably about 2.
What was her name at the shelter? Do you remember?
Reba. They kept her under the desk a lot to try to socialize her. She's a female, and she's a treeing walker coonhound.
Oh, okay. I remember her.
She's the sweetest thing, but she is not coming out of this frightened thing she's got going on. We don't know what caused it.
No, and you never will.
Was she that way when you brought her home?
Yeah.
She must have been that. I don't remember her being that bad at the shelter, but if they...
Have you tried to introduce her to other dogs?
Well, there is my other dog.
Does she get along with your other dog?
Well, he's pretty well treated her badly already. He's a 16-pound poodle, and he rules the house. But he hasn't bitten her or anything, but, you know, she just stays away from him.
Okay. Well, my thought number one is to find a playmate for her. It wouldn't necessarily have to be a dog, but probably it'd be hard to introduce her to a cat.
Well, when they are out in the fenced yard, she does run around like a dog. I've actually seen her running and with her tail up. But
does she play with
the house? Huh?
Does she play with the other dog
when they're outside? They run around the yard together. Okay. Yeah, when they're outside.
Okay.
But I'm not sure I'd call it playing. He runs an inside circle, and she runs an outside circle. And
it sounds like
they're
playing.
They're not fighting, though, so.
No, it sounds like playing.
No, they're not fighting. No, it's just that she's scared of going out. She's scared of coming out of the bedroom. You know, she's just so shy of everything.
Suggestion number one is find a friend who has a fairly submissive dog, not one like yours that's kind of dominant. And introduce them and see if they'll play together. Because what a lot of dogs that are timid will get confidence from other dogs. I'm kind of surprised she doesn't get any from your other dog, but I have a feeling he's a little too dominant to her.
He may be.
And is when he's not around in the house, does she come out of it a little?
He's always around.
Well, you might try, you know, having him go visit Cousin Al for a while and see how she reacts. She probably won't come out of it too quickly because she'll think he's still around. Suggestion number three, I guess. One is to find another companion to give her a little confidence. Two is to see how she reacts without your other dog. Third one is chemical. You can go to the vet and you can get essentially tranquilizers that might reduce her anxiety.
Hmm.
So, yeah. And then now I noticed, dogs, they think she's too, that's an educated guess, and dogs go through periods where they are fearful. And I noticed that, it was about 3 this morning, I think, that wind was picking up and Andy was sitting on the couch barking because it looked different to her. And I think, she's a very confident dog. I thought, she must be going through a period where she's not as comfortable with things as she once was. And I just told her, hey, it's okay,
Oh, Reba really hates bad weather.
Yeah. And how do you feel about bad weather?
Oh, not great, but...
Yeah, see, and I don't like bad weather. I get real anxious, and I think that communicates to them that I'm anxious. I don't know. But I think, it would be good. Classes aren't a panacea. They don't cure everything. But getting her out once a week in a class in a structured situation might do wonders for her self-confidence.
I should probably try that.
And you can even bring her over to the dog training club, and you don't even have to be in a class.
Yeah.
Just bring her over and walk her around.
Let her hang out and see how the other dogs are interacting. And, if you go for a class and your goal is to get her more comfortable and you achieve that goal, then you've achieved a lot.
This is just a guess, and I'm guessing your poodle may be a little too dominant for her, and that's why... It's kind of unusual for her to be at least running around outside and then come in the house. I think that's his domain, and he lets her know that in some subtle dog way.
That could be.
And so he's saying, you can't go here, you can't go here, you can't go here. And the only place left...
Maybe that's why she likes the bedroom.
Well, the only place left for her. Although usually the dominant dogs like the bedroom. That's...
mentioning Kathy earlier, she had that collie and... Amstaff, and the female that was the Amstaff, and she bullied the collie to the point where he would go to the basement.
Mm-hmm.
She basically declared the entire house off limits to him, but he could go to the basement. But dogs are so subtle that until we started to watch for those behaviors, and I went over to her house one day, and I loved her collie, and Shasta would put her body in a line between me and him, and he couldn't come and see me, and he wanted to. But he wouldn't, and she didn't growl. She didn't lift her lip. She just stood there and looked at him, and that was it.
Well, that may be what's going on, because he actually did, he and her bad ones. That's pretty obvious there.
Yeah, you don't have to be Sigmund Freud to figure that out.
You're right. I think he just owns
how did house. How did the introduction go when they met each other?
Well, there was nothing... that I recall, she was so afraid of everything at the time, but yet she likes being petted. If you go get her from the bedroom and bring her into the living room and hold her by your chair and pet her, she loves it.
Take her on long walks all by herself.
I should do that. Mm-hmm. I should do that.
Take plenty of food with you.
Not tonight. It's going to be cold.
Not tonight, yeah.
Yes.
You slip on the ice.
Thank you.
Yeah, but, leave the little guy at home and... favor her a little bit away from him.
Spoiler, yeah.
You got to be careful, though, because when they set up these social dynamics, the more you dote on her and not on him, it's not jealousy. We can call it jealousy. It's like jealousy. But he then may start getting even more dominant. So you got to be careful. Also give him his props while you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are in the house?
2. My husband and I and the 2 dogs.
So I don't know if it would make sense for one person to...
It could. Do the dogs get on the furniture?
The little one does, but Reba, we haven't had her on the bed.
Well, how about on the couch or something while you're watching television? Does he let her up there?
She has a bed by a chair. We don't even have a couch.
Okay.
Basically, no, she's not on the furniture, but she has a bed right by my chair. But he pretty much has taken that over, so the poodle probably doesn't let her get in it. You're right.
Yeah, that's kind of, and it doesn't matter that he weighs 16 pounds and she may weigh 60. Size has nothing to do with it.
I believe it, because he bosses me around. Why shouldn't he boss her around? That's probably what's going on.
Well, you might want to. Does he sleep in your bedroom or on your bed?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, I would slowly move him out of the bedroom and never let him back in. Or her, for that matter, but because a dominant dog, don't ask me why, but they love to sleep in the bed because your bed is the best place in the house. That's where the alpha people sleep, you.
Right.
And so he wants to be as close to that as possible. That gives him a lot of status. And if you can move him out, that'll knock his status down a little. It won't mean he's not dominant as to your other dog, but he'll at least not bother you as much.
I agree. I sometimes wish he weren't on the bed.
That's very telling right there.
Yeah, the guy who has this theory said, and I wouldn't hold this as statistically accurate, but he says 85% of people who are bit by their dogs are bit the first time trying to get them off the bed. And
I believe that.
Yeah, dominant dogs like the bed position, and this guy sounds dominant. And just one way to show him you're the boss without screaming or anything is just not let him on the bed, not even let him in the bedroom. So
I think I'll try that. Yeah. And that might improve. You think that might improve his relationship with Reba then? Mm.
I don't think so, but I think it'll improve it with you, and at least while you're around. See, if you can really assert your dominance while the two of them are around, that will help her, okay? Because when he bosses her around, he's bossing you around too.
And it's real subtle. It might, you'll start to watch for these behaviors and watch what he's looking at, and you might be able to pick up, if that's indeed what's occurring, you'll be able to see it now that we've talked.
I wouldn't ignore the other things too. I think she's frightened besides him, all right? But he seems to be a big factor in all this.
He probably is more so than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. You're very welcome. And I would think that as time goes on, wouldn't you think a little bit more security there?
No, well,
it's hard to tell.
You know, a new dog comes into his territory. It'd be a long time before.
The fact that he urinated on her bed says a lot.
Yeah.
Now, for everybody out there listening that lets their dog sleep with them and there is no problem, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I don't want to say that every dog that sleeps.
Yeah, you always have to qualify that because mine sleep in my bed and they'll get off when I ask them to, and there are no issues with that whatsoever. So it's just changing those dynamics a little bit.
It goes one way but not the other. Dominant dogs tend to want to sleep on the bed, but it doesn't mean that they're dominant because of that. There are a lot of other things, but this dog was giving off a lot of other signals that he's dominant. So,
and sometime in the past, the two of you talked about order and feeding order.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be helpful as well?
The problem is you don't want to interfere. They've set up their dynamic, you know, and you don't want to interfere with that because you don't really know. He will harbor resentment so that while she's around, the social order is one thing. When mom is gone, there's a new social order. You support him and say, okay, you're the alpha, but, you know, quit beating her up.
It's counterintuitive for us to do that, because you feel sorry for the dog that so clearly is subordinate, but you have to support the alpha dog. Otherwise, he's just going to ramp up his efforts to establish himself in everybody's eyes. And it's not, you know, I mean, this is nature. This is how nature works. That special was on Nova this week again.
I saw it.
Yeah, with Coppinger and Wolf Park. And it's really beneficial to have somewhat of a small understanding of how animals behave, because otherwise you can really screw them up. I mean,
there was a fad years ago doing alpha roles with. Now, I've seen a film of a genuine alpha role by the border guards in Texas, the canine unit, and they had like 8 guys standing around. This dog had a double muzzle on, and they were doing an alpha role. That's an alpha role. But people who think that, gee, I got a dominant dog, I'll jump on top of him. If the dog is dominant, he's not going to think he's not dominant because you're laying on top of him. He's going to think you're an idiot and he'll bite you.
That was the worst thing ever. That was the worst training technique or behavior guideline that ever was established. But, you know, everybody bought into a hook, line, and sinker because it's been around for a while.
It's fine for, 8-week, 12-week-old puppies. Because that's exactly the age where you do those alpha roles. But, you know, once they hit 3 months, it doesn't work anymore.
And to a dog that's not dominant and subordinate, and then you've got even worse. Because we had that guy call last month, didn't we, that had the submissive urination problem. Mm-hmm. But, they're not trying to be dominant, and then these people come along and do these alpha roles because everybody said this is what you should do, and the poor dog is like, I didn't do anything, I'm the low man on the totem pole here. So
we had somebody in a class I was teaching once, and I look over, and they're on top of this dog. And the dog has rows and rows of sharp, pointy teeth bared at this guy. And I'm going, what are you doing? I don't know. I said, well, you're not convincing him that he's subordinate. You're convincing him that he's going to bite you. Get off of him.
I had that. I think it was well over 10 years ago, and you were around because I asked Jim for his help in making this woman understand, who had about a 120-pound Rottweiler. And she would do this to him routinely. And he was a nice dog. But,
he didn't like being rolled.
No, he didn't. Man. And, well, of course, I was younger then and not as confident. But I got so upset one night in class because she did it again. I started to cry because I thought, I'm obviously not getting through to this woman. I mean, well, it wasn't hysterical, but I was so frustrated. So I said, Jim, you got to help me. Help this woman understand that she's doing the wrong thing here. Because he was a nice dog. I still remember his name. I won't say it, but I still remember him because I just wanted to be his advocate and say he's fine.
He was an adult.
He was fully an adult. He was two and a half years old. Yeah.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. Listening, I tuned in when the one was talking about the two dogs, the poodle, and I didn't get what the other breed was that was so submissive and territorially cornered. And I guess I had a comment that it almost sounds like it's the new dog or the submissive dog's issue is just pure self-confidence, and that some real play time between the owner and the dog, piece of fleece doing some tug of war and some playthings builds so much confidence just from on a one-to-one level with the dog that it almost seems like no matter what the other dog does, it's going to be submissive, and that confidence building on the part of the dog itself, that one dog has a psychological problem that it needs to get past, and that playing is so important for building confidence with dogs, mostly with puppies, I think. I don't know what it does for adults, but I'd be curious for your comment on just kind of individual confidence builders for with damaged psyches.
I think that's right. That's what we're trying to say. Take the submissive dog, take her for a nice long walk with, away from this other dog.
Yeah.
And explore things and let her sniff around and
do doggy stuff. The other thing that I think comes into play is I had a terribly abused dog, and we sat the two dogs down, our original well-balanced dog and the damaged one, and fed treats one for one and kind of set up things that could be competitive, but it was such a small circumstance that you could completely control it, and each one came to understand that they got their treats and they didn't have to compete and weren't allowed to compete for the other one's treats. Sort of set up a law of the jungle right there in front of you with controlled things like food or toys or attention even.
I do that with the dogs when I let them out, and I'll have like a 9-year-old male, a 1-year-old female, and 3-month-old puppies.
Yeah.
And I'll give cookies, and there's kind of a competition, but there's really not a competition among them. They're not looking at each other, growling at each other. They're looking at me.
And it teaches them self-control with each other, though, I think, finally.
I wish it did. but I've lost a lot of fingers doing
that. I keep trying.
Yeah. But I think with this submissive girl, I think you're right, playing and things like that, but I think it has to be done away from the other dog.
Yeah, okay.
At least initially, until she, you're right, until she builds up some self-confidence.
Some
and then
self-confidence.
You
I mean, bring just being around that dog is going to be such a terrifying
Yeah, he's not going to let her play, if I believe.
No.
It's Carol's example where the dominant dog just won't even let the other dog close to you.
Yeah.
So I think if she starts playing with the submissive dog in front of the other guy, he's going to do something.
Yeah. I also think that, depending on the dog, that the dominant dog looks to you for rules on what is permitted in terms of being dominant. You have to permit them to keep their role, but it has limits. No snarling, no cornering, no, you know, none of it is the job of the owner to really set up the rules.
Well, in the dog's mind, he already has the rules.
Yeah.
The problem is when you break the rules. For example, if you have a dominant dog and he thinks the bed is his, and you suddenly you say, "Oh, I got to change the sheets or something, get off," he won't get off, and you grab his collar to get him off. This is where people get bit because the rule.
Yeah, because they haven't dealt with it early.
No,
enough,
yeah. The dog's rule is I can be wherever I want to be.
Yeah.
And you can't make me.
And you don't believe that.
You don't even know that's the rule. You know, you say, okay, get off, and bang, you get bit, and you wonder, well, it must be a mean dog.
Yeah.
Well, you have to know what they are. And the problem is the dogs know what they are, and we don't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an endemic problem that started at the beginning and not at the inception of a new arrival.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people are bit by their own dog because...
Yeah.
They're violating a rule that they didn't know they were violating.
Yeah.
It was like trying to get the squirrel out of her mouth. It never occurred to me to not do that.
Yeah.
To somebody that wasn't confident or exhibited a lack of confidence, that would have been a perfect opportunity if she weren't who she were to bite me.
Well, it is the truth of children and dogs, I think, that if you say it, if you set up a rule, you have to mean it. Every time you say sit once, they have to sit. Otherwise, the rules aren't the rules. The rules are mushy, and that is the rule. There's no, if there isn't consistency, the rule is that it's inconsistent.
I like consistent. Mushy rule. I kind of like that idea.
You don't want a mushy rule.
A mushy rule, I know. But I like the way that, I like that metaphor.
I like the idea. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you anyway. I just had a comment.
Oh, yeah.
You're very welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Other questions, comments are invited, and Jim was going to say something
else. Yeah, it was a follow-up to Carol's squirrel story. Years ago, I was at one of my brother's houses Christmas, and the kids got some toys that had marbles, and my brother had kind of a dachshund mix. Picked up one of the marbles. I thought he was going to swallow it, and being a dachshund, the marble would be big enough to choke him. So I grabbed his muzzle, opened his mouth, took the marble, and the guy bit me. And I thought, you ungrateful dog.
I was saving your life.
Exactly. But the point is, yeah, it never occurred to me that the dog would bite me. But I wasn't his owner. I was a stranger, and I was taking something he valued away from him. So the rule was he gets to bite me. Now, he didn't even offer to bite before then. I mean, it wasn't like he was a mean dog or didn't like us. It was just that here's the rule. I eat what I want and you leave me alone. And I broke it. How do you explain to a dog? I'm trying to save your life. If you swallow this, you'll die. He doesn't know that.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener. In Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi. I don't know if she said, but it would be interesting to know with the woman that called in with a problem with a submissive female, whether there's someone home with the dogs all day, or if they're, she said there were two people. I wonder if the dogs are alone together all day.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because you don't know what's going on if you're not there. And the other thing is, when people talk about dominance with dogs, I don't know if you agree, but I don't think people are aware that a dominant dog can be dominant in one area and submissive in another.
The other thing is when we talk about dominance, we're not talking about somebody who walks around with a big club.
Right.
You know, it's
right, exactly.
There are rules that the dogs have about pecking order and
right.
who can do what.
Right.
It's such a misused term.
You got to be careful. And I always use this example that at home or at my folks' home, my dad has a chair, all right?
Uh-huh.
If he walks in the room and I'm sitting in his chair, he doesn't come and hit me or bite me or I see him, I get up out of the chair,
right.
all right? And right. nothing is said and he doesn't look at me
right.
mean or anything, but that's dominance.
Right.
It's his chair. I'm not allowed to be in it. I get up and get out.
Right.
A dog would look at it and say, well, there's a interesting case of dominance and all this. But from our point of view, maybe I'm being polite or
it's
something
respect.
Like that.
Exactly.
Respect.
Exactly.
But there are rules. And,
right.
And that's a problem with
with dogs is they have these rules, and they're not written out anywhere. You just have to kind of watch and see what's going on.
Yeah. You know, I've had several dogs over the years, and right now I have a male and a female, and I brought a new male in, and already had the female. And she rules the roost a bit more than some of my other dogs. But it's very interesting. She knows what the rules are. And I don't really even have to say anything. I just kind of have to look at her if she's pushing it too far, mm-hmm. and she'll behave. But truthfully, I'm around my dogs all the time. And I think that can make a big difference in a lot of behavioral problems.
I think it just comes naturally to some people. You can watch, you know, Jim and I both teach classes, and you occasionally get a young person in class, and you can, they're just very gifted at being able to read a dog's behavior, how to respond, mm-hmm. and I think it just comes naturally to some people. It's just an innate ability to deal with something, and other people can't. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, and for the lady, if she's still listening, I don't know if she's interested in that kind of thing, but I do think that there are behaviorists out there that she could also consult.
Oh, there are.
You know, and see what they're thinking and get a real, you know, a diagnosis, if that's the word you want to use, as to what they think's going on. But, anyway, it's a good program.
Thanks.
Enjoy listening.
Thanks for the call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. If you'd like to talk with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm, they are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. This is a program, by the way, that we do once a month on the first Friday of the month. And I think we've got another call coming in. On line one, a listener in Champaign. Hello.
Hi. Can you
Hi.
Hear me?
Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
Great. I didn't hear a click or anything.
Okay.
I'm a nurse, and I feverishly get frustrated with people who have large dogs around infants and small children, and they're under the impression that this dog is a family dog. You know, he's been in my family for 15 years. He loves the baby. There's been no problems. I think you need to get the message out there that whether it's the family dog or not, it's still a dog, and it can still hurt these small children. We see too many of them.
Yeah, I endorse that. It's because I have big dogs.
Speaking as parents of many children.
I have big. We had, No.
I know.
You should never, and you're right about big dogs, but it. Medium-sized dogs, small dogs,
same thing.
Should not be around,
unsupervised.
Supervised around.
Sometimes even supervised, because they'll say, well,
children.
I was standing right there. Well, he still bit his face off. It's a dog. So
yeah,
I just try to get the professionals to reiterate to the owners that it's a dog, no matter how much you love it, and no matter how much you know it's been around the child, it's not worth
same.
You know,
yeah, it's the same rule. You know, if you have a dog, the rule is if you have food in your hand, I can take it. If the dog thinks that's the rule and he tries to take the food out of the kid's hand and the kid won't give it, the dog thinks it's totally justified in biting because
right.
that's how dogs...
Even for nothing. I mean, I'm telling you, we've seen a couple, but they were the family dogs and we don't know why they mauled them. You know?
We get
and I
that.
Just want to say, get them away from your kid.
We get that in training classes, too. People will come in with dogs that are have been friendly to, but friendly to people. And we try to say, look... They may be wonderful with your kids and wonderful with grandma, but it may very well see another dog and think it's dominant, and the other dog thinks it's dominant, and we're going to have a problem. So don't think that because you have a friendly dog with people that it's going to get along with the other dogs. Let's wait, have a couple weeks go by and see how they interact. But people walk in with the dog way out at the end of the lead, another person comes in, a dog way out at the end of the lead. And we haven't had any serious fights, but we've had some arguments.
But you see it, and then we're set up. We're kind of genetically hardwired to always anticipate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this myself. I was leaving somewhere. I had Andy with me last week and saw a guy from work with his dog. And I instinctively held back on her, although she's never indicated she'd be problematic with another dog, because right. you just see it. You see these situations set up. I would feel the same way if I saw a baby and a large dog. I could feel myself get a little anxious.
Well,
not
I mean,
that I've ever seen it, but
not enough animal professionals are getting that message out that that can be dangerous to the baby, even if you're in the room, even if you've had that dog for 15 years.
You know, it's just kind of like common sense.
Well, yeah. You should see how many people and parents walking by. Oh, but these three dogs love the, you know, Johnny. He's, you know, they never act aggressive toward him at all. Well, it only takes once, and then you got to kill all the dogs. So, you know, I just kind of want to put that out there for the professionals to pass on, is to keep the dogs away from the kids.
Until you know otherwise. And you're right, they don't have to be necessarily babies, but you really have to. Babies do not act like human beings as far as a dog is concerned.
Oh, I second that.
And secondly, they don't smell at all like humans. And it may be most infant animals have very little or no odor, or if you can put it, they obviously have some, but they don't have the odor that they'll have as an adult as a protective device. And I suspect that human babies are the same way, just so that predators, you know, a million years ago couldn't find them.
Yeah.
And so when a dog smells a baby, they're not smelling what they consider to be, a human. And if it makes crying noises that sound like a wounded animal, you got a real problem. That's why even a tiny dog, I would not allow around a baby.
Yeah.
Unsupervised.
But we grew up with dogs, and you know, I still have my siblings, and nothing ever happened. So it's just
no. I mean unsupervised.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm just saying that's the attitude you get a lot is, well, you know, we've had him for 15 years, he's never done anything wrong, but then child after child comes into the ER where it was the family dog, and there was no aggression seen before. So I think it's just healthy to have a general rule of dog does not interact with child too much.
you want to have some healthy interaction, and that's where you draw the line.
I guess.
You know, you want to have it supervised, but you want to have the child grow and develop an ability to enjoy the companionship of an animal.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I just don't know how to accomplish that.
Yeah.
You know, it's to me, if I'm going to err on the side, I'm going to err on the side of not having to hurt the child, because then you have to kill the dog. So, you know, then you've lost two things.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's just my question.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Is another caller?
No.
Years ago, we had people visiting from a foreign land, and they were staying with us. They had a year-old kid. We're having dinner, and we said, "Where's the year-old kid?" Well, he's in the bedroom with Jimmy, who was one of our dogs. And I just got up and walked in and grabbed Jimmy and said, "Don't leave dogs alone with the kids. Just don't do it." And Jimmy was one of the nicest dogs you could imagine, but I was not going to leave him alone, unsupervised, at the other end of the house with a baby. Yeah. It just wasn't going to happen.
Does the club ever do workshops? I don't know what the right word would be, but, you know, talking with, educating folks about what to say to children in terms of how to educate them in terms of a human canine.
In individual classes, we do. That question often comes up. I'll often have women that are pregnant, and they'll want to go through the class with their dog so they have a better relationship with the dog when the child is born. That's very common to have occur. We always encourage the children to come to the classes, too, if the parents want to bring the kids, as long as they're well-behaved. So they get an idea of what's happening out there with the instructor and the students and the dogs. But to me, I guess common sense is you're being too generous with people. If they don't have it, they don't have it. But
well, the flip side on the kids' part, I'll tell this little story, but when my nieces and nephews were this big, we had a couple Malamutes who were bigger than the kids, and they wanted us to let the dogs loose with them. I said, okay, two rules, no screaming loud and no running. Let the dogs loose.
I've heard this.
They immediately go, and they start running. And so we had to grab the dog and say, okay, you can't do this, you know, because they're going to run you down. You sound like a wounded animal, and you're running. And that's the two things a dog will go after.
Yeah.
And even just in play, they can cause some harm. I mean, I sprained my ankle last week.
Yeah,
I was
walking
my dogs doing it, so.
I don't think that's what the caller was making, but I took Tommy to a library function a couple months ago.
You put him up?
I put him on the table, and people said, well, why do you have him on the table? Oh, I don't want to get the floor covered with his hair. The real reason was he was bigger than all the kids, and all he had to do was turn around, and he'd knock him over.
Yeah.
He told that story last month.
I did.
Celeste?
I was paying attention, wasn't I?
So was I.
It's a good story, though.
It was a good story.
It's apropos.
It was apropos.
And on that note, we'll wrap up.
Real quick.
Yes.
When it's cold and nasty like this and you're out walking your dogs at night, take your cell phone with you. Because if you should fall and your blocks, don't laugh. I never would have thought
it's
of this when I was young.
It happened to my sister-in-law,
but if
actually.
Sure.
She fell and she had to wait.
Even
she,
Jason's laughing.
She broke her leg. She was there out on the
I was thinking this to myself and I thought, well, who would I call? And I thought, well, you ninny. Call the non-emergency 911. Say, hey, my leg is, you know, not part of me anymore, and I'm five blocks from home.
Well, that's good advice whether they have dogs or not.
Right.
Right.
Well, that is true, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see you in the new year.
Oh, my. That's true.
In January. Jim and Carol. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, they are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs.